Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
My name is Jocelyn Palaja. I live in Duluth, and this is my essay, Compulsory Ignorance. Responding to the waving arm of a village woman clad in the traditional clothing of shalwar pants and a long white headscarf, the driver pulled over. As the door to the minibus rolled open, the woman leaned inside and asked in Turkish, "Is this the bus to Urgup?" "No," responded the driver. "This is the Nevşehir bus. The Urgup one is coming along soon." "Ah, okay," the woman said, as she removed her foot from the step, backing away from the bus. At that moment, a buzz went through the first two rows of seats amongst other traditionally garbed women. Mutters of, "Not the Urgup bus," and "Going to Nevşehir," and "Whoops, wrong bus, let me off," accompanied the bustle of several other women packing up their bags, readjusting their scarves, and making for the door. Patiently, the driver waited while they disembarked, wishing them a good day, and shifted into gear. Bemused, I turned to my husband and noted, "Isn't it bizarre that this happens every time?" On a year of sabbatical, our family had been living in the Cappadocian region of Turkey for several months. During this time, we'd been rapt observers of the culture, right down to gaping at the dynamics on the small buses known as dolmuşes. In response to my question, my husband agreed, "It's amazing. These women have lived here their whole lives. They're heading to one of two possible destinations, yet there's vast confusion about which bus to get on. They plop down and start chatting about their achy knees, only to discover 6 minutes later that they're on the wrong bus." Breaking in, I added, "Which is so weird since the destination is printed on that big placard in the front window." Indeed, the buses from our village headed to Nevşehir, or they headed to Urgup. In the front window of every dolmuş was a lettered sign, either Nevşehir or Urgup. Even I, myopic bifocal wearer, could decipher the 6-inch letters when the bus pulled up. Thus, the village women's confusion was baffling. Eventually, after asking around, we learned. While the current law is that Turks must complete 8th grade, it wasn't always so. Until relatively recently, Turkey's requirement for mandatory education was a mere 5 years of primary education. Factor into that a lack of busing, families that didn't approve of educating girls, and overcrowded schools that offered half-day sessions so that a second set of students could come in during the afternoon hours, and suddenly it seemed amazing that these women were able to find the bus stop at all. On the day in question, though, we were as confused as undereducated village women faced with a reading task. Catching whiff of the conversation, our 10-year-old daughter interjected, "Wait, what are you talking about?" Quickly, we briefed her. Emphasizing the scope of the issue, I explained, "So basically, the majority of adults in Turkey, unless they were lucky enough to have particular intelligence or a family with the means to pay school fees, stopped going to school after 5th grade. Think of it this way. Imagine how much you wouldn't know if this year of school you're doing right now were your last. If you never again had to sit down and wrap your head around fractions and decimals. If you never again had your brain spin in the face of simple versus complex sentences. If you never again got to learn anything academic. Imagine if 5th grade were the end of your learning." That's what we're talking about. People for whom 5th grade was the peak. For just a beat, one perfect beat in 4/4 time, our daughter was silent. She looked out the window at the garbage blowing in the wind. Her eyes took in the crumbling houses, already eroding, although only half built. She flashed back to hours spent in waiting areas, times when we shocked the assembled crowd by opening our bags and pulling out books. Her active brain remembered when the cash register at the grocery store indicated we owed 12 lira, but after we handed over a 20 lira note, it took a minute of finger counting under the counter before the worker made change. She blipped to the street repair that had happened outside our rented house, when the entire lane was dug up to fix some pipes, and then, a week after that job, dug up again to fix a few more. Finally, of course, she mentally riffled through the many instances of women getting off the well-marked bus once they realized where it was headed. That single beat later, our smart girl's sponge of a brain, so ready to absorb any input, had processed the information about Turkey's former educational requirements, and her eyebrows shot up. Matter-of-factly, she noted, greeted by our hoots of laughter, "Well, that sure explains a lot."
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to KUMD.org and click on Programs, then Women's Words. Women authors of Minnesota who would like to read their work on Women's Words are welcome to submit their writing via email to KUMD@KUMD.org. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.